You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another edition of Ask Drone You. As always, my name is still Paul.
My name is still Rob as well, even though I get called a few other things here and there when I'm not having my best days, but that's okay.
I'm sure the names that I get are a little bit more egregious than you, and I'm not really worried about it. So.
I'm not worried about it either. Anyways, we love you guys. We really, and girls, can we just... Never mind. We really appreciate you. Appreciate that you watch, that you listen. For those of you who take the time and effort and thought to send your questions in, we really appreciate that because it benefits the group of all of you as a whole. And we know that you're asking a question that pertains to something relative to your needs and future, etc. But it does benefit a lot of people. So thank you. And if you have a question, be that person that does something that benefits the group. Yes. AskDroneU.com.
So today for the question, this particular person did not want to be recorded asking this question because they really are. They're one of those people that wants to learn, and they understand that in order to be successful in business, you have to essentially be able to adapt and pivot as fast as possible. The faster that you can change, the better off that your business will be. So I bring all of this up for a very specific reason, which is some of the stuff that we are going to say might come off as aggressive, savage, mean-spirited, not nice. You know, I'm sure that there are going to be people on the internet that are going to have some words to say, and I really don't care. Because again, being correct is being correct. It's kind of like, you know, can you define, like all the questions in Congress, can you define X or Y? It's either a yes or a no, the definition, or you know, you're dancing around the question. So that said, if you are easily offended, you can leave, go for it, just get out of here. Because honestly, the reason that we are going to say what we are going to say is because we want to help people. I will also say some of these things that we're talking about, I am guilty of. I am totally guilty of some of these things, of biggest problems from new drone pilots. So...
And I'll add, you might disagree.
And if you do, bring it up in the comments.
Yeah.
But just bring it up in a way that's objective.
Yeah, please, you know, don't.
Don't be emotional.
Don't
it's
be
not,
mean.
You're not... You're literally just degrading your position when you do that. I've had to learn that
the hard way,
too.
You're showing your true colors if you do it that way.
So...
And we don't... And we won't listen to you.
100%.
If you can't do it in the right way.
Yeah, 100%. So, our topic for today is the biggest problems that new drone pilots make. I will also say, I think these are the same problems that... most drone pilots make simply because of their circumstances of previous employment. We know a lot of people that are getting into the drone world because they've already had a successful corporate career. It's important to understand, though, that the crap that you get away with in corporate America will not fly in the real world. It just simply won't. And so,
I'm really curious for you to maybe dig into that a little bit because...
In corporate America, I just see a lot of really petty crap going on between employees that doesn't make it out of Zoom meetings, but it's embedded in the corporate culture. Mm. And you just have to understand that bigger businesses, when they have bigger budgets, more of those small things you can get away with. But as soon as they make it out in public, it's a death threat. Like it's literally could sink your business, you know? And so instead of talking in platitudes and vagueness and whatnot, we should get into the biggest problems that drone pilots face that are self-inflicted and that are also faced by new drone pilots. And again, I'll repeat this. Please understand we are saying these things because we want to help you. You're not going to find out these things in a college classroom because those professors haven't even had the experience. So we're going to try to provide what our competitors can't, which is information based from experience. Okay. Rob, I've said a lot. I think we both agree on number one. And I just read an article about this.
You didn't share it with me.
No, I didn't, because it proved all the points that you've been saying for a while. And this is why I think you need to be involved more in the blog, because this type of stuff, it is hard to hear, but it's necessary. And the controversial stuff, as long as it's delivered well and it showcases both sides of the argument, I think people will read it. So that said, number one biggest problem with drone pilots and new drone pilots.
Well, I don't know that I would call it number one. Can we say these are in no particular order?
Like, these are in no particular order. It's just that, like, these are the biggest trends that we see.
Yeah.
A repeated cycle of seeing them, by the way, as well.
And I will say, I think that there has been improvement in this realm for a lot of reasons. I think oftentimes the crap gets weeded out, right? And so I've talked about this in podcasts before, but I don't know specifically what pieces of it I've talked about. But the bottom line is this. It's fun. Why is it so hard for me to even say it out loud?
You shouldn't be afraid to
say
it.
I'm like the Fonz not wanting to say sorry. Do you guys remember Happy Days? You're probably too young for that.
Nope.
But anyways. I totally age myself. And I mean, look at me. You can tell. Anyways. The professionalism in the industry is horrific. And so just a little bit, very briefly, about my background. Went to college, went into public accounting, i.e. audits and taxes, the KPMGs, the Arthur Andersons of the world, though I didn't work for them, right?
Did you mean the KPMGs?
The KPMGs, yes.
Sorry, I know someone.
Really?
In the drone industry who works for KPMG. And that's
as a consultant or something or what?
No. They're actually employed by KPMG.
Yeah, but doing what? So they fly for fun on the side?
Media production.
Oh, yeah. So they're not a CPA.
They're not in the operations. No. Yeah.
That's cool. That's
But even when they bring it up like that, like, ha. Like,
I work for KPMG.
And it's like, neato, bro. So,
yeah.
Like,
these are the same firms that created Enron.
Ooh, shots fired. All right, there we go. That didn't take long.
No. I love the profession. I really do. I did it for about 8 years. And then from there, so very professional environment, right? I really believe that. And I experienced it for 8 years, both inside of our firm. And that's not to say there wasn't the typical, like the firm that I worked for when I started there had 20 people. When I left, there were 105 people after 8 years. So it grew tremendously. And so that created a lot of stuff. But it was still relatively professional in the way that we treated each other, the way that we treated people from other firms, the way, obviously, we treated customers and clients and clients that we were trying to get and that did things we didn't like, et cetera. There's just a professionalism to the whole thing. Then I moved into the mortgage business. When I got into the mortgage business, it was very early. It was 2001, and it was before a mortgage person had to be licensed, right?
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
No, that came later when they, that was probably.
Was that to Dodd-Frank? Dodd-Frank rules?
I think so.
Like 08?
It came, yeah. Okay. It was a while after we'd been in it. So it was the wild, wild west. And there
I
were people.
I did not know that. That makes so much sense.
It does, huh?
Yeah,
and
wow.
So that's part of what led to the whole crisis in 08 and 09 was the wild, wild west of mortgage lending and the lack of licensing and credibility. So you could be selling whatever, let's just make something up, a used car, and then come into the mortgage business and sell mortgages to people making the biggest decision of their life financially, right? And I will tell you, even in that environment, it was relatively professional.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, we treated each other with respect. There were disagreements as to, for example, should I sell that negative interest arm to a customer? Some broker shops said, yeah, why not? It's available. I'm going to sell it. We said, no, that seems very dangerous for people. They shouldn't be in those loans. But we didn't like call each other names. Okay, so now jump ahead and we start Drone U. Some of the things that people have said to me, like in Facebook messaging, for example, because we used to do a lot of our community stuff on Facebook in particular. And I don't blame Facebook necessarily. That's not my intent with this particular point. Here's an example. And if this person probably would never listen to this podcast, this is just one example of many. But I remember we had a bot, essentially, right? And if people tried to get into the Drone U community, if they were able to find it, it was a paid service that was part of the subscription, part of the membership. And we had something that went out. And it said, look, we appreciate that you're interested, but this particular community is for members of Drone U, which a lot of companies did.
Yeah.
It's not like we were alone.
Yeah.
And so we would send out that. And then
companies
they could
still do, by the way. But
100%. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a thing. And so you could click on there and it would take you. You could learn about becoming a member, make a choice as to whether you wanted to do it or not. fine either way. If you do, obviously we welcome you. We'd love it. But people would say like, you're an effing a-hole. You're not worth $17 or whatever it was. Up your
Facebook is just,
and I'm just like,
Facebook empowers the most toxic people. Well, no. Literally, just in the last 2 weeks, I had someone who was like, I just got into drones. I'm really glad that I found you guys. I had gotten involved in some Facebook groups. I obviously asked him which ones. We're not going to say on the show which ones, but it's ones that you know, just put it that way. And long story short is, he goes, I cannot believe how, and he said, effing toxic it is. He goes, people just rip each other.
I know.
They don't ask questions. They have no idea the circumstances. They just make an assumption and they rip each other. And by the way, some of these people, you know them. You know who I'm talking about.
We don't need to say anymore, yeah.
No, I'm not. No, because we're maturing past that crap. Taking the high road. So long story short is, there are a lot of Facebook groups, and I don't think it's even just drone stuff. I mean, I've seen this in the expedition groups, okay? This is not unique to any particular vertical.
It's not.
It just empowers people who have decreasingly lost their social skills after COVID, have become very angry, and I understand the anger. I totally understand the frustration with society right now. I understand the frustration with even like our work-life balance. You name it. Okay, we all understand that the country is like absolutely at the most corrupt state it's ever been. Thomas Jefferson warned us of this in the Federalist Papers, and no one's reading about it, right? You got to give the guy massive credit for, you know, predicting this 250 years ago, but he did.
Yeah.
And these types of forums, these types of groups are making it even worse. And so it doesn't matter. I do think Facebook has a very negative association because it's very different
it
from
does.
Reddit.
Well, Reddit can be rough as hell.
It sure
Are
can.
Are you kidding me?
It sure can, but it's... It can,
No. I think they're on the same plane. I think Facebook, we're really getting off track here a little bit, but I think Facebook is just significantly more prevalent. And so it seems, but shoot, Reddit can be rough, man. Reddit,
yes.
There's some a-holes on Reddit, which we did experience there too in the drone industry. You're just, that's
oh,
adds
yeah, that's
to my
true.
Point.
That's actually
and
true.
And then there were just people in general. And let me say this, we have not always been the best about being the most professional. So I think we probably contributed to this. But the way that some people responded over the years or have responded in terms of unprofessional behavior, both directly with us, but also just watching, because we talk to a lot of people in the industry, and all of this to say, how do we relate this back to biggest mistakes that new drone pilots make? It's just be careful who you engage with and set your bar high that you are going to elevate the professionalism of the industry that you're choosing to get into.
I will say there are a lot of people that I recently have worked with that have said, I choose to work with you because it's very clear that you're very, very good at what you do, that you care about what you do, but you're also extremely professional. And that's why I'm working with you. So when we talk about being professional, what does that look like? That looks like don't engage in the Facebook groups. It's just a waste of your time. You're not going to get anything out of it. You'll learn this if you do. Over time, you'll be like, oh gosh, that I thought that information was good, but after X, Y, and Z, I realized it's not. Okay, that's number one. Number two, have an uncompromised devotion to taking the high road. No matter what, I would recommend, and actually, it's funny because I never mind. I'm not even going to say that. I recommend that, like, I give the example of like working on set. One of the things that I learned at Netflix is that if you just talk nicely about everyone, they'll enjoy working with you and you'll get on another movie. It's literally that simple because it's all nepotistic. So you want to be the easiest and most convenient person to work with. That's what I mean by also being professional, right? Your systems have to be well thought out. You have to communicate well. And when you do communicate, communicate with grace. Communicate with
respect.
With respect, but also brevity. And when I say that take the high road, be professional, I'm also saying don't be overly sensitive either. You have to have boundaries. We're not saying please everyone and be a people pleaser. Well, that's not what we're saying at all. We're just saying that when you communicate, give the benefit of the doubt, consider their perspective, ask clarification questions instead of getting upset and assuming. It also means don't be desperate. I'm so guilty of this. There are so many clients I missed out on because I was like, let's lock this down. Let's lock this down. Let's do this. Let's do that. When you seem desperate, it's a lack of professionalism and people are not going to work with you because the hairs on the back of the neck are going up and they're saying, why is this person so desperate for business? This is not a good sign.
Can I just like maybe take a risk here?
I love risk.
It's with respect to you.
Yeah. You know what? I think it is important for everyone to see on this show an unscripted conversation between you and I.
Okay.
And me being able to take hard feedback. So hit me.
Well,
not physically.
Probably couldn't hurt you anyway. So anyways.
Are you trying to say I got a thick skull? It's okay.
No, talk about your progression, because specifically within this realm of professionalism, the way that you communicate with people, the way that you respond to people that might not agree with you from year one to year five or whatever to from year six to now. Because here's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I don't want people to be out there listening and be like, well, we saw what you did 6 years ago, Paul.
Well, and there's other people on YouTube who have literally called me out in videos, even though I was right about the subject, but he was saying more so that my delivery was all wrong and you're such an a-ho and all this.
Yeah, that was really professional.
Yeah. Yes. So, which we have a nickname for
him.
No,
we don't. No, we don't. I'm not even sure who you're talking about. But anyways... But I see the progression. And so I want everybody that's listening to this and watching this, if you've stayed with us this long, to know that we see what you're thinking.
Yes. And to answer your question, Rob, I'm not sure that there is a formula or a system that I can give out. I will say when that video was made and a lot of people called me out for being overly aggressive, for being nefarious, negative, angry and whatnot, it definitely made me more self-aware. It definitely made me think, okay, there's some things I'm not doing right here. And in all honesty, I will say I'm actually grateful for this, Rob. That's why I brought it up. I'm grateful that all this happened because it forced me to be more self-aware. It forced me to think about how do I want to really be remembered in the industry. I'm not saying that I'll even be remembered in the industry. I think there are millions and millions of people out there, and to be so egotistical, I think, is a farce. But my point is this. The growth that it took was a deep sense of questioning myself. And it was not fun, Rob. It was not fun. I know you know that. I know you saw a lack of confidence in me for a great period of time. And that really forced me to say, what do I want to be known for? What do I want to be remembered as? And I genuinely enjoy helping people. It is, you know, when we have classes and people are like, why do you do this? And I'm like, well, because I feel like I've made it to the top in the drone industry. I've worked for the highest players in the drone industry. And I get more joy out of seeing people overcome and accomplish the things that they thought they couldn't do. Like that for me is like the ultimate joy. And if I'm going to be able to have the opportunity for that ultimate joy, then I have to seriously think about how am I communicating? And then it hit me. And maybe this is the answer to your question of what did it take or what, how would you showcase the difference from the beginning to the end? And I think it's actually about humility, because it took me a serious realization that if I am communicating this way in the professional world, how do people feel like I'm communicating in the personal world? And I don't really care about people's opinions, but when you get a large group of people who are saying the same thing, it's time to start looking inside and being self-aware. And so if my communication is poor in business, then this means two things. Number one, it means that my communication in my personal life is not good. And number two, I would say most people would argue that your business can only be as good as you as a person. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
So my point in saying this is that I think it is important to note that if your communication sucks or how you communicate, in order to have more opportunities, you have to be a good communicator. You have to give grace. You have to be humble. You have to be willing to give people an opportunity to speak and to truly listen, and not just listen to react, but listen to understand. And I say that because I feel like I've had to work on all this stuff over many, many years, and it's not an overnight thing. But what you practice becomes what you do. Like what you practice ends up being the person that you are. And I wanted to be a better communicator. I wanted to be someone that people look up to. And you know, we talked about it in the last show regarding how Trump talks about people. And there's whether you have an intention or not, it doesn't matter, because what matters is what's perceived.
Yeah.
And so that is also a hard realization that I had to have, is like, you might have the greatest intention in the world, but that's not being communicated, and that doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, the road to hell is paved with what?
Good intentions.
That's right.
Yeah, it's actually a really powerful point. That's a very good point.
So anyways, yeah, I appreciate you going into that a little bit. The theme there in terms of, I guess, bullet number one is
professional.
Be professional, and let's all together raise the professionalism of this industry. And it starts with us. It starts with you. And next.
Well, I will also say I'm not perfect. This has been a hard road.
We're so far.
We're still
perfect.
Working on it. And I hope that you just decide to work on it as well. And I think that all of us would be making this pie bigger if more people were professional. I would also argue that a lot of the companies that were not professional, they don't exist anymore.
Yeah. And so a lot of the people we work with now are very professional.
Yes. I would agree with that as well.
That a lot.
And I think it's great because let's be honest. You forced me to be more professional. I am in the category of people that we are talking about, is that I had to become more professional too. I'm speaking from a point of experience of that. I used to be that guy. And yeah. I realize I don't want to be that guy, because right. You realize what you turn into, and you realize you don't want to be remembered for that.
Yeah, for sure. It's funny, on our walk today, we were talking about our pre-show walk, that when we started this, you were 25, 26?
Mm, 25, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, not professional.
As a youngster.
Yeah, seriously.
Anyways, not to make excuses, but we all know when we were 25, we probably weren't quite where we wanted to be. So what's number two on the list of...
Well, and just to summarize your bullet points on professionalism, you know, we talked about make a decision to be professional, and I would just say stay away from negativity. And so that's why I talked about the Facebook groups. It was not to go down a rabbit hole. It was just to say, stay away from the negativity, because negativity is like a virus. It's just going to infect your mind as well. So I would say number two, the biggest mistake that most drone pilots make is a lack of planning. And I say that because we talk about this in our business course a lot, that you need to have a plan for 18 months of no revenue, especially if you're starting out. 18 months of no revenue. Now, I'm not saying that that's the average case. I'm saying that's the worst case scenario. And that was not the scenario for us. But I do know pilots who have struggled to make a way in the drone business.
Yeah.
And I know pilots who are very successful. And I know pilots who are struggling. And so that would bring up point number three, I would say, is confidence. But point number two is a plan. And so I know you talk about this in the business course, Rob, but when it comes to making a plan, you have to think of the entire client navigation, how you interact with the client to engage them, how you acquire the client, how you communicate through the process of working with a client, and then how you shore up a job and keep the client maintained into a system of constant communication to maintain the network. But
yeah, totally. And just financially, you better have at least an understanding of what it's going to take to get where you want to go, right?
Would you say, could you sum up a financially successful person versus a non-financially successful person into one analogous example of simple everyday life?
Man, that's actually not as simple as it sounds. I think because it almost, what comes to mind for me, there's like a spiritual element. It's just a deep question in more ways than you think. So my thought is, you don't worry about money anymore.
See, and my thought is that you are not prey to the instant gratification anymore. That you're more focused on the delayed gratification.
That's great, yeah.
And the story that I was actually thinking of is the one that we talked about on pre-show, where I was like, oh, you mean you pull a Rob and you put something in your cart and you wait a week to see if you still want it, and then you go buy it if you do? And I mean, I think that's a great example.
It's a good strategy.
Because let's be honest, you're a lot more financially successful than I am, and we've been making the same amount of money for 10 years. So
I'm old.
You can chalk it up to whatever you want. But at the end of the day, I think your delayed gratification with planning and being professional has led you into a much better position than Paul's instant gratification, emotional decision-making, and having to mature a lot. over 10 years.
Yeah, but it's happening. So yeah, I think that's a great example of a piece of the puzzle as to what was the primary basis of your question? Like financial success?
Well, I feel like financial success is going to be financial success in your business as well.
Sure, and if you're an entrepreneur.
And I'm saying, like, is there a simple example that if you do X or Y, that you're probably not going to be successful in your business? Or, like, for example, if you just go out and buy a new drone because it's the new cool drone, do you think you're really going to be successful?
Well, we've definitely had a lot of DroneU members even that have come in and said, man, I've spent all this money on drones and I still haven't quite figured out how to monetize them, or I haven't gotten the customers that I need to make it worth it, right? We've heard that before, and relatively recently. So I think maybe it's diving into, in terms of being a drone pilot business owner, specifically, it's understanding how you can best make money with your drone based on your skills, your experience, and your resources and tools without extending yourself.
Mm.
So I think we had a great question last week. I think we answered it with respect to, I'm sorry, I think his name was, what was his name? I think his name was Scott. Yeah, I think that was you, Scott. But you were asking about the Phantom 4 and what should I do? But I think, you know, we don't want to have analysis paralysis. So that's something to be very wary of if you're trying to get started. But can I get the most out of the drone I have? And
do you have the innate creativity to try to make that happen or not?
Or I develop it?
Yeah.
Like, what can I do in terms of personal development to... Let's just say that I had to build a drone business and I'm not able to buy any more equipment than what I have for 5 years. Can I do it?
That's a very good point. Yeah, that's a very good point.
And then figure it out.
I think that's a very good point.
So maybe it's part, maybe one of the mistakes, the bullet is that new drone pilots rely too much, or they think too much about, I don't have the right stuff to be successful. Mm. By stuff, I mean tangible equipment type
assets,
stuff.
Yeah.
The question is, do you have the right stuff internally to be successful?
That goes to that point of, do you have resources, or are you choosing to be resourceful?
Totally. You know? And that's not to say some people might be still flying a Sima around the house.
Hey,
you need a drone to be successful, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, sorry.
No, I don't say sorry. I think it's fantastic. And it makes me think of so many things. You know, I think part of this also is drone pilots expecting that this is some formula, that this is something that's easily achievable. And if it was easily achievable, then wouldn't everyone be able to do it and just go out and make great money? And so I think a lot of people have this idea that as soon as they start their drone business or they augment their existing business with drones, that they're going to be happy, that everything is going to be rainbows and unicorns, that they're going to be the cool new guy on the block with their neighbors, and that ultimately they are the coolest person in the world.
Or it's going to save them.
Yeah.
They hate their job and this is going to save them.
Unfortunately, all of those things only do one thing, which is serve your ego, which you have to realize that if you're going to be truly successful in business, your ego could be the biggest detriment or obstacle to your success. That's something that I, again, had to learn the hard way. And so I say this because there are going to be years of doing things that you may not like doing. But those years of doing hard things that you may not like doing are going to equate to you being very good at them, and then they're not going to be hated anymore. It's not going to be something that you stress. I can't tell you how many times at the beginning of my drone career, I was like, I don't know if I'm really going to be able to do this or not. And I'm like, well, as long as I'm willing to figure it out and give it a try, that's all I can do. And if it didn't work, then you know what? At least I tried, because I would rather be the person that says I tried and failed rather than I never tried. You know, and there is no silver bullet to anything in life. We all know that. There is no easy way.
And there's only one way to never fail, which is
never take risk.
Never try.
Yes. Yes. I feel like the people who worked in the government for the last 10 years have been learning that the hard way. The people who want the most sustainable jobs in the future only to be derailed by government shutdowns every other 2 years. So, you know, it's just, there is no silver bullet.
No, there's not. Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. There's no guarantees.
Professionalism. We've talked about having a plan. We've talked about setting the right expectations, meaning it's not all going to be rainbows and unicorns at first. It is a lot of fun. Don't get me wrong. Is there another big theme that you've seen?
Well, yeah, I think another thing that I would add is that a mistake that is made is that people try to do it on their own. And there are many ways to get plugged in with people that have done it before you. And as much as we went on about the professionalism of the industry, again, I think it's gotten a lot better from my perspective, from my opinion. And so there are opportunities to have a mentor, to get involved with perhaps somebody that's already doing what you want to do. Perhaps it's a community like Drone U. At the risk of sounding like I'm just making a plug, I think it's very real that if you try to be a lone wolf, it's going to be harder. And I think a lot of pilots try to do that.
Yes, and a lone wolf might sound appealing at first, but again, I think if you take this one tact about most problems, you're probably going to end up being successful, which is, who am I going to be at the end of this journey, and how am I going to feel at the end of this journey? Meaning, I want to do $500,000 in drone jobs in a year. What do you look like after that, right? Oh, 500K wasn't really that hard. I just had to find the right types of clients with the right types of jobs, and it ended up being simple and easy. So then it makes you think, okay, well, now I need to think about what are the right types of jobs? What are the right types of clients? Who are those clients? What do they act like? What do they look like? Where do they hang out? Where do they learn? What do they do? And so to Rob's point, excuse me, Rob, to your point, I think it's also important to think about not only who is in your circle of influence, and obviously you're saying it's important to have a circle of influence, but I think also you need to consider who's in the circle of influence. I think it's a good idea to be plugged in online with a group of people, drone people, that are in a similar situation as you, but not regionally. And I say that because I bring up the example of Jonathan in Houston, and Clay in Houston, and how both of them are like, I've been trying to get my way into the Houston drone community, but it's very competitive. It's very judgmental. It's not really like, no one's helping each other out.
Back to the unprofessionalism.
Yeah. And I would say that when it comes to your business mentors and your network, get involved with people who are in the same position timeline-wise, meaning they're newer to the game, whatever, but they're in a different industry. Because the chances are you're going to learn just as much from them as you would, if not more, than someone who's in the drone industry with you in the same point. So like I said, I would agree with Rob that you're going to learn a lot from a drone community, but I also think that you should have other outside influences in order to really help you out. So we've talked about professionalism. We've talked about having a plan. We have talked about...
you have the right stuff.
If you have the right stuff, you know, it actually, thinking about having the right stuff, it made me think about the two biggest problems I think in the drone industry as a whole are, one, a lack of training, and two, which I'm not just saying that because of Drone U, like, this is a legitimate issue. We have had people who are like, and training's not important, and then 4 years come back to us and be like, that was the biggest mistake of our drone program and why it failed. So I don't just say that lightly. But what I will also say, it's obviously not just training, but the quality of training. But I think the second biggest issue, and it might even be the first, which leads into the training issue, is that people go out and they buy products that solve proverbial problems, but they have no idea how to solve those problems. Meaning they go out and they buy all this equipment, and then they don't actually know how to really use it. They don't, you know, you could say that's a training problem, but what I'm trying to say is that they're too quick to the trigger to buy stuff that they don't know if it's actually going to do what they want it to do. I guess you could chalk that problem up into research.
Yeah, research. And there's some good sales folks out there.
Yes. Yes, there are.
We've all been. We've all been suckered.
Yeah, we have. We should. Yeah, I almost got suckered at CarMax. I shouldn't say that on the air, but yeah. Is there anything that we're missing?
Oh, probably. But I don't have any more bullets in particular.
You feel like we did an okay job?
Well, they'll have to tell us if we did an okay job. I think those are four meaningful points that I think we've given people to consider when it comes to ways in which they can provide for themselves a better path forward if they pay attention to these issues. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you have questions specifically about, well, I saw this and what about this in this industry? Do you think that applies to drone pilots? So many different, I mean, we could sit here and talk for 8 hours, but I don't know how much benefit that does. I think if we leave it here, give this to folks to ponder and disagree with, think about how it applies to their journey, the journey they're about to take, et cetera. Let us know if this is helpful. I'm really, really curious because we try to do things that are a little bit different from the standard. This is how you're going to be successful in business.
Because there is no real formula. So as I'm learning with other businesses, what I will say, though, is that if you fall into the group of being guilty of any of these things that we've talked about, that is okay. That is okay. As soon as you make a decision, and this is an internal decision, this is not me going to Rob and saying, Rob, I'm making a decision. You making a decision internally, it's your internal dialogue. And the reason why you make that decision is only matters to you. And why is going to be what empowers you to continue making that decision. But you need to make a decision that you want to be a certain way. You want to be known a certain way. And I will say, I went down the wrong path for a very long time. And some people may argue I'm still down the wrong path. And I would say, well, let's have a conversation, right? I mean, like, I feel like if you really want to help and you're not just trying to blame and point the finger, let's have a conversation. I'm happy to have a conversation. But if you feel like you have fallen prey to any of those problems, you've been a part of that problem, that's okay. Give yourself grace. I mean, I think that's so important. Give yourself grace and make a decision to be better. Cause I think in the end you'll be better off, and it's not because we told you to, it's because you decided that's what you wanted. So, I think that's it. Again, yeah. We're not trying to sit here on a pedestal. Mm-mm. You know, we're guilty too.
More so. Like a high chair, like a baby.
A literal high chair. But anyway.
Closer to a high chair than a pedestal, I promise you.
Yeah.
In terms of where I feel like we're coming from.
Yeah. I really am curious to all of your feedback. Everyone really want to know what you think. Very curious. And let us know. So, because we're one of those people that we always want to be better. We know that we are fallible, right? Even the FAA has that on part 107. Why do we use checklists? Because the human mind is fallible. Okay, we get it, right? We're not perfect, and that's okay. On that note, that's going to do it for our show today. Thank you again for listening to another episode of Ask Drone You.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.